Elvis grew up in Willoughby Hills and graduated from St. Joseph High School before it merged with Villa Angela to become VASJ. He went on to play quarterback at, oh, this hurts, the University of Michigan, which just proves that God gives us free will. But he went on to the University of Michigan, where he had a record-setting career. And after being drafted by the San Francisco 49ers, he played 9 seasons in the NFL, during which he had many accomplishments, including an AFC West title, a Pro Bowl appearance, and he's got one of those things we've never seen in Cleveland here called a Super Bowl ring, all right? Super Bowl championship for Super Bowl 29. He and his wife, Lori, have 3 children. He's working on a master's in theology, and he serves on the parish council and teaches youth catechesis at Holy Angels Parish. And he's the athletic director, head football coach, and director of the Marianist Urban Students Program at VASJ. There's a couple things I want you to know about him before I bring him up here. I told you, when you put on a conference like this, it takes money because you provide stipends for the speakers, you provide food, you provide all of those. He immediately donated his stipend right back and said he does not want to receive anything for being out here. He is standing in front of you and talking to you students and you dads because he wants to be here. Our conference planning team put together 4 footballs that they brought out that he was gracious enough to autograph. And we are going to be giving those away as door prizes. Good news, just by being here, you are automatically entered. And later on tonight, I believe, we're going to draw 4 names. One of you can walk away with an autographed football for Mr. Elvis Gerbach. I have met him a couple of times. I have heard him speak many times. And I will give him the title that I think best describes him and the one that he'd probably appreciate the most. He is a brother in Christ. He is here to share his message with you because he really wants to reach out to you. So I ask you to please give some energy, give a nice, warm. Well, first, let's do this. How do we greet people from Michigan and Ohio? We say, OH! All right, now give him a big, big, big round of applause for Mr. Elvis Gerbach.
My son graduated from Ohio State. I had to do it.
All right. I never lost to Ohio State, so that's okay. Thank you for coming today. I know some of you guys, especially young guys, probably be sleeping, right? Yeah? Okay. I have to thank everybody who is involved in this. This has been planned for some time for me to come out, and there's a lot of emails and things that have gone back, so I just want to make sure I say thank you to the staff and everybody, and to you dads. Okay, that you're here today, bringing your sons. There's a reason why you're here, okay? And I think in my second talk, I'm going to really kind of get into that a little bit more deeply, okay? Before I do any of my first kind of like just intro talk for the next 20 minutes or so, are there any veterans in the room? Anybody who's served in the Army or anybody who knows, will you please stand up? Thank you, guys. Thank you. So I've been giving talks around the country. I've been to Boston, back to California, down to Florida. And when I was in Boston, when I started doing this, we had like 5 or 6 speakers get up and never really introduced the veterans. I was kind of shocked by that. Okay. I do that for this reason and this reason alone. I'm up here because of those men. We live in a great country that we're able to profess our faith and have an opportunity to come up here and do that. Not too many countries you can do that, okay? Now, the other thing, too, being a former NFL player, obviously, everything that's kind of gone on in the last couple years with the kneeling and everything, let me just put it in perspective this way. If I put a line, a white line right here in front of you guys, okay? What I did for a living and what those guys are going to do tomorrow, okay, they're going to play for something that is obviously special to them, right? Put on a uniform, you represent a city, an organization, everything, all your time and effort that you put into it, and you take an oddly shaped ball and you cross that line, you get paid millions of dollars. Here's veterans that put on a uniform, serve our country, not knowing who they serve, and they cross that white line, and what do they get for it? What's the reason in that? Is there any logic in that? I don't see that, okay? But I'm here, you veterans, to say that I always will always stand for you, and I will always stand with the flag, okay? Now let's get this out of the way. I'm gonna put this up here. Okay, that's a Super Bowl ring. Okay, that's the 49ers' fifth one. I have it. Okay, probably the only person in Cleveland besides Carmen Policy who used to live here. Okay, Bernie Kosar? No. Does he have one?
Dallas.
Okay. I do that, guys, most of the times when I give a talk, and most of the times I'm in a church and there's a to the altar and the crucifix. Okay, if you can fix your eyes on that. The crucifix over on the wall there, okay? Compared to this, what really matters? What do you think that is? It's the modern day golden calf. You young guys, you want that? Go ahead and grab it. But you got to work for it. You got to put a lot of time and effort into it to get that, okay? I will give you some advice, whatever you want to get into, okay? There's not always athletes in every crowd, okay? Whatever you have a passion for, there is no reason why you can't accomplish what you want to accomplish. However, I'm going to tell you this. Here's a guy from Cleveland, Ohio that, you know, very much similar like you, dedicated his life for that. And paid a price for that. I'm on the other side of that. If you want it, whatever you want to be successful in, okay, make sure you have that with you. Because the ups and downs, okay, of the NFL life is way too hard, okay? It is way too hard to accomplish. I did, but it cost me some price, okay? It cost me part of my life. Kind of some of the things that I did that I'm not very proud of. I wish, in my second talk, I'm going to really kind of get into depth of that. I wish that was truly the center of my life as it is now. Imagine how much greater. Yeah, you talk about all the accolades and everything. You know, I played with some of the greatest coaches of all time. Not only do I have that ring, I have 5 Big Ten championship rings. Played with great players, Jerry Rice, Steve Young, all these great players. Okay? But that wasn't a part of it. I'm here to say, guys, there is something greater already within inside of you if you truly believe that God created you in the likeness and image of himself. It's already in you. It's already a part of you. It's something that needs to be acknowledged. It's something that needs to be thought upon, reflected on, and encourage within your own self. Why? Let me give you one stat, okay? And I love talking to men. I mean, this is my wheelhouse right here. Now, I was down in Columbus a couple years ago, and Scott Hahn gave a talk, and he gave a stat. And I'm not a stat guy. You know, I don't know what I threw for and all that stuff. And when he was up there telling me, I was like, really? I don't remember any of that stuff, okay? I will tell you this stat, and I think this is really important. It really kind of hit home for me. Scott Ann said, if you take a family of 5, husband and wife, 3 kids, if the oldest child, like my son Jack, and I'll talk about Jack later in my second talk, if you take the oldest child and he's active in his faith, 10% of the rest of the family would be active in their faith. 10%. Now, if the mother is active in her faith, which is a typical thing, right? I kind of grew up in that, and I'll get into that a little bit. I have a little bit of a Croatian background, very ethnic background, okay? And my mother is very, very active in her faith. Then 25% of the rest of the family is going to be active in their faith. If the father figure is active in their faith, it goes all the way up to 75% or higher of the rest of the family will be active in their faith. You men that are sitting there, you have an unbelievable job. I don't care. You know what? I don't care if all the job titles they can give me over at St. Joe's, athletic director, head football coach, MUSP, all that, that's all well and good. But the greatest one that he talked about is being a father of three. And there's people in this room know my children pretty darn well. And I'm proud of my kids, of who they are, and what I'll talk about later is how I let them be who they are. You know, here's a guy, and it's very typical, right? If you're an athlete, you try to have your son be an athlete. Well, that doesn't make any sense, okay? And you guys are going to learn this because my daughter is the pure athlete in my household, and she did it on her own. I had nothing to do with it. You men have an unbelievable responsibility. You are called, okay, beyond what you do in the workplace. The most important thing that you can do is what you do at your home life. That's the true calling. That's the true measure of who you are. You know, we have these wonderful churches and priests and deacons and religious. But what does it come down to, men? Us, the father figures in the house. Not only do you have to educate yourself and grow in your faith, but then you need to be able to profess that faith in your household. That is what you are called to do. That's what you should be doing in your households. I learned the hard way. I'm not here upcoming here saying I'm perfect. I learned the hard way. I'm not perfect, right? Can you guys be able to do that? Absolutely. And I will give you examples of what my kids have kind of gone through and where I was many years ago to where I am now, and I see the fruits of my labor through my children. It's an amazing thing. That it's not the power of me. It's God's grace working through me. Now, it was interesting. Father Lakovic got up here and talked about the light of the world. So I had a really hard time kind of, what am I going to talk about in the next 20 minutes or so when I've got an hour with you guys, and hopefully in that within that hour, I can open up to questions that you might have of me. So what can I do to kind of piggyback off that? Well, it came to me this morning, actually, when I was getting ready. Now, I'm a very big scripture guy, okay? I will tell you this, over at Holy Angels Parish, life for me really changed, and Deacon Vince Belcito is a very, very good friend of mine. He really got me into scripture. And, you know, be interesting how many other guys in this room have brought this today as part of their daily reading, if you had time to maybe reflect today. Okay? Let me open this up. And I'm going to reflect on this a little bit, and I think it's really important. That really just kind of came to me, and I want to share you a story with you that when I was in high school, I had somebody that was very, very dear to me and was kind of like the light in my life that really was a solid foundation of who I am and what I've accomplished up to this point. But I'm going to read this to you from Matthew chapter 5, if I can see that, 13 through 16. You might want to jot that down. Okay, salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Sound familiar? You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Shocking, huh? Just as your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. You men, I think you know where I'm getting at. When an unbelievable, that scripture passage came to me about 2 hours ago. Because I was sitting there drinking my coffee. I was up at 3 o'clock this morning because that's when I typically wake up. I don't know why, but I wake up and I read scripture and I read the liturgy of the hours and I have enough time to kind of really do some reading. And that came to me about 2 hours ago. How can I be that light to these men today that other people were for me? And then when your day is done here, that you might be able to take what you have learned and what is already inside of you to go into the rest of your life, to your homes, to your workplace. Now, you know, being a graduate of St. Joseph High School, one of the storied high schools within this the Cleveland area, I was very blessed to be around great coaches, great mentors, great students, obviously great athletes, things like that. There was a man there, his name is etched in the basketball court, and it's not Clark Kellogg, okay? Tim Robertson, okay? And I think, Mr. Dibbitts, you might know him pretty well, right? Yeah. He was a great mentor for me at St. Joe's, okay? Not only, he was not a basketball coach, he wasn't a coach at all. He was a math teacher, okay? And he would take photographs for the yearbook during the seasons and things like that, and he was always around. He and I spoke all the time. And I will tell you this, and the only way I can describe this to you is that anytime you went into a room and you sat down and talked to him or you kind of passed by him in the hallway, what I just read there, you are the light of the world, that's what he was. There was something about him. His spirit within him was something that I couldn't describe. But now as later in life, going kind of through understanding what we are inside of us, that man exemplified what that light is, the grace of God working through him and letting that shine within him. Not only did that, he did that at his house, he did it for thousands of young men that were there at that school. He was an unbelievable example to all of us of what it was to be a true Catholic Christian man. And guys, I can name off thousands of coaches that I played for that you will recognize. The Bo Schembechers of the world, the Les Miles of the world, that was my offensive line coach at Michigan, George Seifert, Bill Walsh, Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak, Mike McCarthy, Bill Guprod. I can go, Coach Kyle at Ignatius. I've had them all. And you know who's the best? That man I just told you, Mr. Robertson. He was the best person in my life. He knew exactly how to read me, know what I was doing, and how to really kind of connect with me. Because God's grace was working within him. And he knew how to connect with young men. You men that are sitting there today, You're on this faith journey. You're somewhere. Wherever you are, there's a relationship that you have already created with Christ for the fact that you are already here. There's a reason why you're here. He is calling you to something greater than yourself. Something greater than what you are today. It is your willingness to open up yourself to the grace of God so that he can work within you. Is it possible? Yeah. What do you think I'm standing up here for? Okay? I've been through it all, been successful, done exactly what you want to do. But I will say this. The greatest thing that I've done up to this point in my life is allow God to work within me so that I can stand up here and give you a message, okay, what's really important and why it's important. I'm going to leave you with this. We're going to continue on our day, and then my real main talk that I'm going to have is going to kind of reflection on who I am. And it's crazy, you know, as an NFL player, you know, you play on Sundays, and sometimes you look like an absolute fool, throw an interception, goes for a touchdown, costs you a game, whatever, right? Okay? And so you got to get up off that ground, okay? Got to pick yourself up. Some years ago, I had an opportunity to really kind of be in your position and open up myself, okay, to God's grace and his work in my life. And here I am, standing up here again, okay, giving you my entire self. You're going to learn a lot about me and what I've, you know, dealt with my kids and what I do now for a living. That I'm pretty amazed that God would say, you know what, I want you to go to the ends of the earth and tell your life story. The good and the bad. Really? Really, that's what you want me to do? Okay? If that's what you want me to do, that's what I will do. Well, I'm up here, and I've been doing it for a couple years now. And that's what I'm going to keep on doing. Because I think it's really, really important that you men that are sitting there, okay, wherever you are in your faith journey, you are called to something greater. Now, I will say this. Being an athletic director over at Villa Angela St. Joseph, and that's hard to kind of say for me because just St. Joe's kind of just rolls off my tongue. I do a lot there. I'm the athletic director. I'm the head football coach. I run a urban student program through the Marianist Brothers and whatever other title they want to give me over there. Do you think I'm there coaching football? No, I'm not. I'm there to form young men and women in our faith. Coaching football is easy for me. It's fun. As a professional, I know the ins and outs of it. I know how to motivate people. It's easy. It's easy for me. You know what's hard for me? To get these young men to really realize what's important and what they can accomplish with God working within them. That's my true calling. That's what I do for a living, is I form young men and women. That scripture passage is one of many scripture passages that I truly love. And what I'll do in the next talk is give you some examples of some scripture passages tied in with my three kids. I have three kids, two boys and a daughter. But I'm going to give you some stories also about some of the things that I have to deal with on a daily basis with some of the student athletes and just regular students. And how do I handle those situations? I think that's what you guys want to kind of know. When you get in certain situations, what do? I'm going to come back to those veterans, and I'm going to close it with this. I want to thank you, veterans. Because it is the fact that here I am, I can stand up here and have an opportunity to be able to talk with the freedom that I have, because it was you that have given me that chance to be able to come up here and to really kind of express my feelings about where I am and my relationship with Christ. It's not because of my own effort. It's because of those men in this room who have fought for this country, for us to be able to do that. If you notice those men standing up there today, make sure at some point today you shake that man's hand and you thank him for giving you the opportunity, for you young guys, to be here and to be able to profess your faith and to listen to somebody like me. And you older guys, make sure you shake their hands, that you're able to profess your faith in your own home life. Amen? Amen. Oh, great. Great question. Okay, so how tough was it to practice my faith at the NFL level? Mr. DiBartolo was very gracious. Every Sunday, either if we were home or away, would always have mass for us before the games. So I was able to do that. When I got to Kansas City, it was non-existent. And I played in Baltimore for a year, and that was not the case either. When I got to Kansas City, there was a very strong movement of Bible study within just the workplace. And so I will tell you this, guys, the NFL typical week, you're there every day. It's just every day you're working, okay? Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, you're installing, putting in like new plays and things like that. Okay, so you're there from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. And at some point, those guys would go off to Bible study. Or as a quarterback, I've got to study my plays. I've got to get ready for the, you know. And so I really took the time to really kind of study my plays, what I did for a living. And those guys went out to Bible study. Just kind of shunned a little bit because I wasn't part of Bible study. Go figure that. Okay. So I was like almost the outcast a little bit. It was kind of interesting. How does that go hand in hand? So, I will say this. Guys, you know, I've been married. Oh boy, I'll be married 26. What is it? 2 weeks? Yeah, the 12th. I better remember that. my wife is my high school sweetheart. She went to Lake Catholic. We've been together for 30 years and three kids. She's Catholic. She's the solid rock. I will tell you this, okay? My wife's Italian, Irish, Slovenian, and Romanian. And I say that's a deadly combination. She's an unbelievable cook. Like on Sundays, we do pasta Sunday. I mean, that's just what we do in our house. She drinks whiskey like it's water. She'll steal $20 from you because she's a Romanian. And I say that she still has that $20 somewhere. So go figure. Sorry, you Slovenian guys. So, she's a solid rock. If you guys ever met my wife, I mean, that she's this little Italian girl, but she's got a feistiness inside of her. You know, that Irish-Italian mix is not good. But that's a solid rock in my life. And thank God, through the ups and downs through the NFL, okay, she was always there. She was the kind of like the steady boat through the whole thing. So, other questions? Yes, sir. Advice on prayer about leadership? Oh, when dealing with people. Oh, yeah. So, like, anytime, you get a confrontation with somebody or something like that, you want to go to prayer or even kind of set yourself up prior to that, okay, in your prayer life, okay? All right, yeah. I was a very different person many, many years ago, okay? I couldn't be in this position that I am now without my prayer life, okay? The fact that I have to deal from, I was telling Mr. Divitz over there that from 8 o'clock in the morning as an athletic director, sometimes I don't get home till like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. So I had to deal with people from every age group all day, whatever issue they have, okay? I started my prayer life and I looked for something really consistent that the seminarians are doing. Is the Liturgy of the Hours, right, guys? Okay. So the Liturgy of the Hours was something that I really wanted to do, that I was consistent in my prayer. So I typically get up about 5 o'clock in the morning, and I do office readings and morning prayer in the morning. Okay, it gets my day going. Okay, and that's really, for me, I really wanted to understand Scripture and the Psalms. Okay, and that's what it's really based on. I can say that, right? And it was really something that solidified my entire day. And from there, I go to Mass every morning. And then I have a daytime prayer, which I do probably like around 1 o'clock, evening prayer, and then a night prayer. Okay? So there's a consistency in prayer. I'm always kind of having this dialogue with God on a consistent basis. Not just because I open up a book and I'm reading it, but it's something that's come to fruition within myself, and it comes out of myself. Now, your prayer life, okay, when you do that, and you have that relationship, when you start having that true relationship with Christ, okay, it's supposed to bear fruit in what you do. Does that make sense? Okay? That love, that patience, that joy, that kindness, goodness, all those fruits of the Spirit must come out of you, and that has to come out of your prayer life, out of that relationship with Christ. There's the true, okay, meaning of how to deal with people, is that I can sit there for 12 hours a day and talk to all ranges of issues and things like that and be Christ in that moment. It's an amazing thing that I probably, you know, 10, 12 years ago, there's no way I could have done that. Absolutely not. You know, I'll give you examples like later in my talk, is that when I had to deal with my kids, there was a point in my life where I had to kind of let my kids go and not kind of just do everything for them. And I had a trust in God that God would kind of lead them. And then I had to really kind of work on myself that so those fruits of the Spirit would come to fruition. Now what's happening is my two boys and my daughter, I see the fruits coming to fruition in them. See how that works? Okay. So continue with your prayer life. Be more consistent in your prayer life. Okay. You and I are going to probably talk. Your prayer life, depending on what your relationship with Christ, depends on, are you asking for things or are you just wanting a relationship? Okay? Does that make sense? Right. Good question. Okay.
Any others?
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course. Favorite Bible verse? You know what? I'm not going to even open it up. John chapter 6. Just read the whole thing. Not going to even. Okay, you guys will get to know me. John's gospel, obviously very, I don't want to say poetic. Yeah, it's a very different than the other gospels. But I do a lot of Lectio Divina. Do you know what that is? Okay, so I do that. And, you know, John's gospel can take you a lot of different places. I mean, that's what's so great about John's gospel. But John chapter 6, the whole thing. Just read the whole thing. if you look at my Bible, it's all highlighted.
One last question, gentlemen in the back.
Yeah.
It may seem obvious, but who named you Elvis?
Oh, jeez. My parents are big Elvis fans. Okay. My older brother's name is Engelbert, so we call him Bert. So, yeah. So. All right, so so I've been dealing with that my entire life, so. All right, guys, good start today, all right?
All right.